Good morning and welcome to worship at Brentwood Baptist Church. We are glad you are joining us, however you are joining us, and wherever you are, whether you're having to stay at home and kind of quarantine to get through COVID, whether you are traveling and you've joined us, or whether you are in another city, in another state, and you have found us on the internet. We are glad you are with us. I do want to start this morning with a special invitation. November 1st, next Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to have the groundbreaking for the Rowan Glenn Center. We're finally going to begin construction on our new special needs facility. And we're so excited about this new building and all of the families that it will impact. And yes, Rowan Glenn is my granddaughter. You may not know this, but Jean and I have a special needs granddaughter. Craig and Nan's little girl, Rowan, has a condition called SOTUS. And we have been living with her and learning with her and growing with her every day. And we'll tell you the story later about how that center came to be named for her, but that is my granddaughter. And I, like a lot of families, understand the significance and importance of this ministry and the impact it can have. We're grateful that Brentwood Baptist Church has followed God's lead into being part of such an important ministry in the Middle Tennessee area. So that's next Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, November 1st, in the very south parking lot. And you will see everything set up there when you pull around there. We'd love for you to be with us. You know, there's nothing, no better feeling, just nothing better than finishing a project, of doing something, painting something in your house or repairing something and finally looking at it and going, it's done, it's finished. But you and I know it's not finished. Because something else will happen, something else will have to be done. All of the things we have, our own bodies included, require some kind of maintenance, some kind of upkeep. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, we are told that God created the world and it is good, perfect, just the way God had intended it. But do you know that the early church fathers thought that God had created Adam and Eve as teenagers? Not fully grown adults? Yeah, answers some questions, doesn't it? In fact, it was their understanding that God had created everything that was created with this ability to continue to grow. As Dr. John Polkinghorne, a physicist, Christian theologian, all that goes together, physicist, Christian theologian, said that it pleased God to create a creation that keeps on creating. And you see, that's where you and I come in. We are the stewards of this creation that keeps on creating. We are the maintenance team for all that God has created. So we're told in the 15th verse of chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. I hope you have a Bible nearby and you could read along with me. Now the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. What an awesome experience it is to realize that in all of your creating, you've created a place for us, a place for us to be part of your kingdom and part of your work. And so now we pray that everyone who is listening this morning will recognize their calling, their place to be with you as you perfect your creation. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You know, it's profoundly interesting to me that in the God story, this great story that begins in Genesis and celebrates its completion in Revelation, that human beings, Adam and Eve, are introduced to the God story as stewards. We don't own anything. We didn't make anything. we are given authority and given charge over things to make sure that they turn out the exact way the master wants them to be. You and I are familiar with the concept of stewards. We have people in our lives who are stewards, who have that we've entrusted certain things to, who now have the responsibility to make sure that things are done the way that we would want them done. We have bankers, we have financial advisors, we have consultants that we say, we want this done, we want it done exactly this way, and we want you as a steward to carry it out. The best understanding of human beings in the God story is that of steward. We didn't make anything. We didn't create it. We don't own it. God has entrusted to us certain aspects of his creation. Now notice what I said. He didn't entrust everything to us. He entrusts certain aspects to each of us. Did you notice the first thing? God did not give Adam the whole world. We always assume that Adam was given the whole world. God created the world, and then God gave everything to Adam. He didn't. He gave him a garden, so big by so big. Adam's responsibilities are limited. He's only responsible for so much. He is responsible, but he's not responsible for everything. The first thing that you and I have to do as stewards is to understand that part of creation, that part of the kingdom that God has given to us. Paul told the early churches when he would write a letter, he would compare them to his field, his flock. You are my field. You are the place I cultivate. You are the part of God's kingdom work that I am responsible for. I'm not responsible for everything. Your first job, my first job, is to understand that place where God has placed us. Understand your role and what place, your garden. Define your garden. You're only responsible for so much. There are a lot of things that the world puts on you that you're not responsible for. There are a lot of things that other people want to put on you that you are not responsible for. One of the most freeing exercises you can do is to begin to understand there are things that people have put in my life that I am not responsible for. I am responsible to handle the news of COVID-19 responsibly. I am not to blame for COVID-19. That wasn't my fault. There are things in your life that you are taking the blame for, that you are feeling guilty for, and honestly, they weren't your fault. They weren't in your garden. Maybe the most important thing you will do in the days that follow you hearing this sermon is to draw out in your journal on a piece of paper somewhere a square and say, this is my garden. These are the things that I am responsible for. So what was in Adam's garden? Obviously, he was in the garden. You and I overlook that aspect, don't we? We overlook that you are in that garden and you are responsible for you. You're responsible for your mental health, your spiritual health, your emotional well-being, your physical health. Yes, that means we eat right. That means we get enough sleep. Yes, that means we limit social media and maybe turn off the news because, yes, it does affect our mental well-being. You have a responsibility to God who created you, who gave you the life that you have, to be ready to do whatever God asks you to do. To be mentally prepared, spiritually prepared, physically prepared, emotionally prepared, so that there's never a moment when God would hesitate to use you in a moment to serve the kingdom. Now, I've told you this story before. I made the basketball team. That was it. I made the basketball team. I would sit on the end of the bench, fully understanding I was never going to get in the game. If I got in the game, somebody was way ahead. Either we were way ahead and coach was clearing the bench, or the other team was way ahead and we had given up and they would let me play a little bit. But I can still remember the coach's face when he would look down the bench and see me. And his whole face would change. His countenance would drop, as the Bible would say, when he realized that his house payment was on me being in the game. I could see the stress on his face. Think about it. Are there times when God would want to use you in a moment, in a evangelistic conversation, and you're not ready, I'm not ready, so he can't use us? Are we good stewards of ourselves? Interesting. Two verses later, God gives Eve to Adam. He would have received Eve the same way he did the garden. She doesn't belong to me. She's not mine. I didn't make her. I didn't own her. She belongs to the Creator. She belongs to the Father. I am now charged with making sure that Eve fulfills all of God's dreams for her. Husbands, you and I are stewards of our wives. We are charged by Christ to make sure that our wives fulfill all the dreams that he has for them. Wives, you are stewards of your husbands, charged by Christ to make sure that he fulfills all of Christ's dreams for him. We are stewards of our children. We are stewards of our friendships. We are stewards of this congregation. We are stewards of the gospel itself. All of this has been entrusted to us with the understanding that we are to make sure it fulfills all of the dreams the Father has for it. So, what has Christ entrusted to you? Where is your garden so big by so big? Who has Christ entrusted to you? You know, the part of the relationship may not be that is good for you. You may be in that relationship to help that person find the dream that Christ has for them. You're a steward. It is your calling, my calling, to make sure that that person, child, spouse, friend, member of the congregation, member of your small group, neighbor, fulfills all that Christ has store for them. Now, that is a big task. That is a huge calling. And it was one that the disciples received from Jesus himself and didn't fully understand it. You see, on the night that Christ was betrayed, he gathered together with his followers, his disciples, in the upper room, and they shared the Last Supper. In that conversation, he talked about his death. They didn't get it. They didn't get it till later. But then they began to understand. This is what love looks like. Not in getting everything, but in giving yourself away. In this time of COVID, we're having to use these plastic cups with the juice and the bread already on them. Yeah, they work, but they're tacky. If you're joining with us now, we want you to be part of this, however you can. It can be crackers, it can be juice, whatever. Okay, we have stories of the church celebrating the Lord's Supper with all kinds of breads and all kinds of drinks. We even have a story of prisoners who didn't have anything at all, who shared the Lord's Supper by pretending to break the bread and pretending to pass the cup. What you use is not important. It is a symbol, an outward sign of an inward reality. And what you're holding in your hands is a reminder, an everyday kind of reminder, of the price that Christ paid for us so that you could fulfill the dream that he has for you. A lot of us have dreams. We had them when we were children. We gave up on them. Life happened. We made bad decisions. We broke things. But do you know who hasn't given up on his dream? Jesus himself. He hasn't given up on his dream that he has for you. No matter what's happened in your life, no matter what you've done, he's still dreaming for you. He laid down his life so that you could have his dream in your life. And this is his body, and it was broken for you. Take and eat it. Lord Jesus, as you passed the bread and reminded your disciples that you are the bread of life, we hold this bread and know that everything you are is what keeps us alive. We pray this in all the gratitude we can. Amen. COVID has brought a lot of challenges to our healthcare system. One of the challenges, believe it or not, is we're running out of blood. Because people have not been getting out, one of the things they have not been doing is giving blood. And so now in certain parts of the country, they're running short of blood donations. It seems that without blood, we can't live. It was quite a cry that went out through all the universe. The revelation of John tells us to find the one who could open the seal, who could open the scroll that had all the seals. There wasn't anybody there who could do it except one, a lamb who looked as if it had been slain. There isn't anyone who can keep you alive in this moment but Jesus Christ. It is his blood shed for you on the cross that brings you forgiveness, that brings you redemption, that brings you life. Take and drink all of it. Lord Jesus, we come to this time where choices have to be made, decisions. We recognize that you are the creator of everything, the giver of life. And so we pray now, Father, that you would help us understand our place in your great adventure. And we pray this in your name. Amen. To understand your place, you have to understand you are steward. God created everything, owns everything, and you and I are partners with him to make sure that everything he's made fulfills its dream, its promise, and its dream. That includes you. Now, if you'd like to know more about a relationship with Jesus Christ, what it does, how it changes you, would you text CONNECT to 623-623? We'll get in touch with you as soon as we can. If you'd like to know more about how to get connected with Brentwood Baptist Church, again, CONNECT to 623-623. However the Lord is coming to you now, whatever he's calling you to do now, let us know. Just text CONNECT 623-623 and we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can. You've honored us by being part of our service. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.